Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. You know, the greatest gift you've ever been given wasn't bought in a store. There was no cash exchanged. There was no wrapping. It wasn't even wrapped, but it was expensive. In fact, it cost God everything. The Bible says that God sent his son to earth to give you the greatest gift ever. Jesus came to earth to die to make you right with God. And the Bible said God did this out of sheer generosity. He put us right standing with himself. It was a pure gift. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the answers that we can find in Easter today on Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we begin a series called The Hope of Easter. In these lessons, Rick looks at the life-changing significance of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just before we begin today's study, you know, Pastor Rick says, while life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two, heaven or hell. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a tool to help you understand the magnitude of that eternal choice. It's called the Eternal Realities Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Amazing Grace.
The Bible says that we're saved by grace, that the only way to heaven is the doorway through grace. And if you're going to get to heaven, that's the only way you're going to get there. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. It's just by God's grace. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and even that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. If you could work your way to heaven, can you imagine how boring heaven would be? Everybody would be bragging about how they got there. Well, I did this. Oh, yeah, but I did this. The Bible says we're just simply saved by grace. But more than that, we're forgiven by grace. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, I forgive your sins for my own sake. We don't deserve it, but God says, I forgive you. The Bible says that we're sustained by grace. Philippians 2:13 says, God is always working in you to give you the will and the power to do what he's called you to do. God will never ask you to do anything that he doesn't give you the ability and the power to do, and that power and ability is called grace. Then the Bible teaches that we're healed by grace. It says that he heals our broken hearts and binds up our wounds. The Bible says we're liberated by grace. We talked about that, how you don't have to live under the rules and regulations of legalism. Jesus said, come to me if you're tired and weary, and I will give you rest. Not a whole bunch of other chores to do. He says, I will give you rest. And if your Christian life is not a life that says it's a life of resting in Christ, it means that I'm moving back into that legalistic background. The Bible says that we're given talents by grace. God has given us each the ability to do something well, and we're to use it for him. The scripture tells us in Romans 12, the Bible says God uses us by grace. That we're kept saved by grace. And we talked about that, that how you cannot lose your salvation because it's a gift. If you worked for your salvation, then obviously the moment you stopped working for it, you'd lose it. If you had to earn your salvation, then the moment you stopped earning it, you'd lose it. But since it's all by grace, it's on the basis of what Jesus did, you'd have to lose it by what he didn't do. But he did it all. The Bible says that he said on the cross, it's finished, it's paid in full. And so he keeps us saved by his grace. The verse there in Jude 1:24 says, he is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to keep yourself saved. And then we're transformed by grace. The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then we mature by grace. The scripture says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. The more you grow in grace, the more you're going to grow spiritually. So the bottom line really is this. It's all by grace. That's the bottom line. Everything that God does in you, everything that God does for you, and everything that God does through you, he does by grace. Listen to this. Robert Louis Stevenson said, there's nothing but God's grace. We walk upon it, we breathe it, we live it, and we die by it. It makes the nails and axles of the universe. Everything is by God's grace. We wouldn't even have our own lives if it weren't for God's grace. You say, Rick, this sounds like a good deal. I want to be saved, forgiven, sustained, healed, liberated, given talents, used, kept saved, transformed, and matured. How do I get it? How do I receive the grace of God? Well, the Bible says in three simple words, by trusting Christ. By trusting Christ. God made it so simple that nobody could say it was too hard to understand. It's not, here are 23 steps and 4 pathways and 8 guide roads and, you know, 32 rituals to go through. He just says, by trusting Christ. That's it. That it's as simple as just putting my faith in Him. The Bible says this in John 1:17. Read it with me. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now look up here. All of grace, all of what we've just talked about for 10 weeks, is wrapped up in a person. He is the source. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. If you don't get it through Christ, you don't get it. Now what's he saying here? He's saying that you don't get God's grace, that's his power and ability to do the right thing, to make it in life, to be sustained, to become what God meant for you to be in the first place. You don't get grace through religion. You don't get grace through ritual, not even baptism or communion. You don't get grace through rules. You don't get grace through religion, rules, regulations. But you do get it through a relationship. Look at the next verse. Let's read it. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. Now that's what you call having friends in high places, folks. You become a friend of God. How? By becoming in relationship with Christ, His Son. Now circle the word relationship. Because he says that's how we get the grace we need to live. But I also want you to underline the phrase, in dying for our sins. It says that this grace came to us because of what Jesus has done in dying for our sins. Now, grace is free. All you have to do is accept it. It's free to you, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus' life. In fact, grace is the most expensive commodity there is. Jesus died on the cross to pay for it. And Jesus never wants us to forget that. He never wants us to forget the sacrifice that He made so that we could experience the grace of God. So He gave us a reminder. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But before we do that, we need to remember the death of Jesus on the cross. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? What really took place when He hung there 2,000 years ago that makes something so significant that we celebrate it and we remember it with a symbol 2,000 years later? When Jesus died on the cross, He did 3 things. You might want to write these down. 3 things Jesus did when He died on the cross. It's not on your outline. Just write it wherever you can and whatever. Number 1, He paid the penalty for sin. That means my penalty for my sin has already been taken care of. It's kind of like getting a get-out-of-jail-free card, if you remember Monopoly. That's what grace is. One day you're going to stand before God, and He's going to say, obviously you blew it from your sins. Somebody has to pay for those sins, either you or somebody else. And Jesus did it. He paid the penalty of sin. And so I can be forgiven for that. The second thing He did is He broke the power of sin. What that means is Jesus now gives us the power to change the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups in our lives that mess us up. The penalty of sin is paid for, the power of sin is broken, and the presence of sin will be obliterated. One day we're going to go to heaven and there isn't going to be any sin there. And He's guaranteed it. Because of the cross, it's guaranteed.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Amazing Grace from our series called The Hope of Easter. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, or maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series, as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital, you'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they are making. In this series, Rick tackles questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would he send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, there's a lot of mystery and misunderstanding about taking communion. Most of us come from many, many different backgrounds. And the question is often, what should be my attitude when I take the Lord's Supper? How should I feel when I remember the death of Jesus Christ? Should I feel guilty when I take communion? Remembering all the sins that I've committed, should I feel guilty? The answer is no. No, communion is not to make you feel guilty. Because communion says, remember, Jesus has already paid for all your wrongs. So you don't have to feel guilty anymore. That's grace. Should I feel grief? Should I feel when I take the Lord's Supper like this is like a funeral and it's something sad as I remember the death of Jesus Christ? Should I feel grief when I take communion? No, because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, after they put him in a tomb, they said, he's back. He didn't stay dead. So we don't serve a dead God, a dead Savior. So we don't have to grieve. So we don't have grief. We don't have guilt. What should the attitude be when we take communion? Gratitude. When I take these two elements that symbolize what Jesus did for me, I should be thinking, how could God love me like this? How could God love me this much? You see, the Bible tells us how much he loved us. Look at this verse. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. That's what we should be grateful for. Now, communion, the Lord's Supper is a symbol, but it's not for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. It's only for believers. It's only for those who've accepted that grace gift. But you can become a believer right now. There's nothing to stop you. When we take these symbols of bread and juice, and as we remember what they symbolize, I want you to say, Lord, by taking this, in your mind, you'll be saying, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I accept his grace today. That's what you're saying. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I accept his grace today. Near the city of San Juan Campos in Brazil, there's a remarkable facility. It's a prison. And 20 years ago, the Brazilian government turned it over to a band of Christians. And they said, you can run it, and you can run it on Christian principles. And so they cleaned up the prison, and they renamed it Humanita. And with the exception of two full-time staff members, All the work there is done by inmates. Families outside the prison adopt an inmate to do work with during and after his term. Recently, Chuck Colson went and visited this prison. And he says this, "When I visit Humanita, I found the inmates smiling, particularly the murderer who held the keys, opened the gate, and let me in. When I walked in, I saw men who were at peace with themselves and with God. I saw clean living areas. I saw people working industriously. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from Psalms and Proverbs." He said, "My guide escorted me to the notorious prison cell that was once used for torture. Today," he told me, "that block houses only a single inmate." As we reached the end of a long concrete corridor and he put the key in the lock, he paused and said, "Are you sure you want to go in?" "Of course," I replied impatiently. "I've been in isolation cells all over the world." Slowly he swung the massive door open and I saw the prisoner in that punishment cell. It was a beautifully carved crucifix by the Humanita inmates. The prisoner Jesus hanging on the cross. "He's doing time for the rest of us," my guide said softly. You see, folks, this is what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is all about. Jesus has served your time. He paid your penalty. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He died in your place. And when we take communion, we remember that Jesus took the punishment that we should have taken. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 8. "You are familiar with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us in one stroke. He became poor that we might become rich." You can spell grace, G-R-A-C-E, as God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. And as we take this cup and drink it today, and as we remember what Jesus has done for us, I want you to say, "God, in your mind, Jesus Christ, thank you for your amazing, outrageous, inconceivable grace." In light of the fact that all those 10 things that grace offers to us are made possible because of what Jesus did on the cross, how should I respond? Look at the verse at the bottom of the front page. "So we beg you." Hear the urgency in Paul's voice. "We beg you, do not let the grace you receive from God be for nothing." What do I owe Jesus Christ? I owe him the rest of my life. I owe him all that I've got. I owe him the past, the present, the future, everything. And so, I want to give you three ways you can express gratitude for God's grace. Would you write these down? Number one, I can show my gratitude for God's grace by making my life count. By making my life count. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "Don't you see that you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in and through your body." He's saying here, you can't understand the grace of God and just keep on living the same way you've always lived. You can't understand the grace of God and just keep on ignoring his commands, or just keep on wasting your time on trivia, or just keep on spending your money any way you think you can spend it. You can't do that anymore. You have been bought with a price. You know, after the failed assassination attempt on President Reagan, I remember him saying, "I have a new sense that I was spared for a purpose, and that all my time belonged to God after that." Well, I want to tell you something. Because of Calvary, because of the cross, because of what we just celebrated and remembered, you were spared for a purpose. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for you to just go on living any old way you want to. He made you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. He redeemed you for a purpose. He died for you for a purpose. And he wants you to fulfill it. 1 Peter tells us this. Each person should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. He says here that the abilities and the talents and the opportunities and the education and the freedom and the relationships and all the things that you have that bless your life were not given just to be squandered, but they were given for a purpose. And God expects you to use those for a purpose because he has shown you his grace. So what I say to you tonight, I beg you, don't waste your life. Jesus Christ died for it. And if he died for it, you better not waste it. Make your life count. Number two, the second way you can show gratitude for God's grace is by becoming a generous person. By becoming a generous person. Remember the verse we read? You are familiar with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away in one stroke. He became poor and we became rich. Now let me just say this. If you want to measure how much you understand grace, if you want to measure how much you're living by grace, if you want to measure how much you are grateful for grace, look at your giving. Look at your giving. Look at what the Bible says. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
What's going to happen after you die? That's a question that we all ask. I've heard this question probably more than any other question. What will happen after I die? And when people ask that, they want to know about the afterlife. They want to know about heaven. They want to know about hell. They want to know about what we're going to do in eternity. Well, the Bible is very clear about what's going to happen in eternity. And the Bible says there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. And there is a reality that is much bigger than we can even understand here on earth. Now, in order to answer the questions about heaven and hell, I've put together an audio series and I call it Eternal Realities. And I talk about the reality of heaven and the reality of hell and what each place is like and how you can be certain that you've settled your destiny, that you're going to heaven. And by the way, this series also contains a sermon called How to Be Certain You're Going to Heaven. I don't want you to have any fear or any doubt or any misgivings, questions about where you're going to spend eternity. I want you to have this settled issue in your heart. And by the way, I've included all the messages from the Hope of Easter series in this audio series, including a message called The Answer is Easter. Now, friends, I don't say this lightly, but I consider this message, The Answer is Easter, to be the single most personal, the most powerful, and the most encouraging messages I've ever shared in 40 years of ministry. And I will send you this powerful and encouraging series as a thank you for your donation to Daily Hope. You know, it's your financial gifts that make it possible for me to talk to you like this and to share the good news of Jesus Christ and how to grow in Christ and how to serve Christ and how to share Christ with others to millions of people. It's because of you. So just visit my website, rickwarren.org. You can get all kinds of information. And if you can give a financial gift, I really would appreciate it. Thank you so much in advance. And thanks for listening today. I love you. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you, and I want you to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.